In this corner, weighing in at close to nothing, Jackson the Scarecrow Burns.
Oh yeah, I'm ready to rumble.
And in the opponent's corner, weighing in at, oh Jesus, that's way too much, Mark the two-ton tons of fun Mulaney. Gentlemen, I want to have a clean podcast, so if you're ready, let's get ready for Who Cares with Jackson and Mark.
I am Bill.
And that's the sound of approval, because he liked what I did.
That's actually a good idea. I'm going to use that for whatever. I actually like what you're talking about.
Well, so we're never going to hear it again.
No.
So we just opened up with the little wrestling bit that we just did, obviously, and I was planning on doing this before we sat down to record, and I wanted to do it like that guy who, like, really drags out
his... Bruce Buffer.
Okay. I don't even know how much I can say, because apparently
you
Jackson...
You can say stuff, but... So, Bruce Buffer is very litigious in the fact that he trademarked that thing that he says when he says, let's
can
get
we
ready.
Say it in a normal voice?
I'm not quite sure.
We just can't say it in his voice.
Let's ready.
That's what I'm not sure about. Yeah. Can I just say, like, the guy who, like, drags out his syllables? Like, I mean, how would I describe
all right.
it?
You would explain. He's the boxing announcer that wears the suits. See,
that's every boxing announcer.
This isn't even me being shticky. This is something that actually freaks me out from being in the radio business for 10 years. Because I've heard about this everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a big fight, and we're reminded by the legal department of whatever station I work at, do not mimic that statement that guy says.
So, but I mean, like, can you do?
I can say, you can say, let's get ready to...
For fun times.
Bumble, maybe.
Okay, but, like, we can't say it in, like, imitating his voice.
No.
So we cannot imitate his voice. Even if I was, like, even if I wasn't even going to say any of those words, and I'm literally just going to use
Inflection
to order a Big Mac at Burger King or McDonald's. Where do they have the Big Mac? It's McDonald's. I'm a fat guy. I should know where the Big Mac is.
Why don't
I know where the Big Mac is?
I don't know if that he would let you or not. That's a good question. We can ask him.
Like, we wouldn't get an answer right now, so it doesn't do us any good, so
no.
I don't care. No, I just thought that was weird.
His brother sells, he does wedding announcements, like, in this corner we have Mary marrying Joe.
Yeah.
He does that for, like, wedding videos.
But can he do the tagline?
No, his tagline's different. His tagline's, it's time.
And can he use the same inflection, though?
He does, because he's his brother, but yeah. I think he might have sued him at one point.
that's good brotherly love
there. I'm just going to test out my new soundboard here real quick.
Another soundboard.
Okay, it works. But it's on my phone, so it's cool.
It is. I got to get this hooked up on my phone so I can control the sound effects and it won't just be you driving the listeners crazy. All right, so Jackson and I are driving around today, and this jerk has the audacity to look at me and say, I've had such an exhausting week. Jackson, please enlighten the good listeners at home what you consider to be an exhausting week.
It tires me to go over it, actually.
And I'm going to punch you in the balls we're done with this.
By exhausting, I mean that I'm tired because I stayed up late. And I did a lot of physical activity. I golfed on Monday. That was tiring. And then on Wednesday, I golfed. And then on Thursday, I played wiffle ball. I was up until like 10 at night. And then yesterday, I stood around for, like, I don't know, 3 hours at Ernie Bach's big Subaru of New England office building and played pinball. But I was out until, like, midnight.
So everybody who's listening to this that works, like, a normal job and what you consider to be a tough week is having to wake up at the crack of dawn to go work for some jackass boss who's busting your ass and your balls all day. This is what this man thinks is a tough week. Golfing 2 days in a row, playing wiffle ball, and hanging out with a billionaire. So shame on you, Jackson. Shame on you.
Hey, man. Yeah, so I did hang out with a billionaire.
Yes.
That was really weird. Because we on the show, we gave out a pinball machine.
No, this is on on K&M, not on our show. No, we don't get to talk to Bernie Bach Jr.
We'll give you a pinball keychain. No.
But you'll have to pay for it.
Yeah. So we gave out, Ernie Bach Jr. gave us, you know, on the show, the K&M show, the opportunity to give out a Aerosmith pinball machine worth like $6,000. And so we had a contest on the air and had 12 listeners do it. And we did it at Ernie Bach's big new office building in Norwood. And when I tell you, this place was incredible. It was, I didn't even tell you the best part, the bathroom. So
anywhere so, Jackson goes, he becomes very well acquainted with their facilities.
Oh, I swear
so
to God.
He tells you it's a good bathroom. He's like George Costanza. If he says it's a good bathroom, it's a good bathroom.
There's a remote control for the toilet. You hit a button and, it, and the seat pops up and down.
Yeah. Like a remote you can carry around, or is it like a wall panel or something?
No, it's taped next to the, you know, it's not Velcro, but it's whatever rich people use for Velcro on the wall, on the wall next to the toilet.
Whatever, like it's like small animals that just bring it over to you when you need it. It's like a bunch of little gold-plated ants glued to the bottom of the remote, so they just walk it over to him when he needs it.
Yeah, they use the honey of endangered bees. So you hit a button and the seat goes up and down, and then I touched the seat and it was warm.
Mm, yeah,
it's warmed, it's heated, and then I didn't even have to poop, but you can make it so water shoots up your butt and cleans your butt. I tried it. It was quite and then it dries you. It's like a hand dryer in the toilet. And then somebody knocked on the door and I felt odd.
Because you're alternating warm and cool on your butt while you're sitting on the toilet.
Yeah. And the oddest part about it was I didn't even have to go.
Are you done in there yet?
Yeah. Yeah, just 1 second.
Yeah. And I went, woo-hoo! Like it was, oh, man, it was fantastic. And the cars, and dude, he's having an original Batmobile built.
Based on the Adam West one?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Rest in peace, Adam West.
Yeah. Is that like a direct result? Like, is that his way of commemorating Adam West?
No, he just loves the Batmobile. He's Richie Rich. He's the man. And it was really nice. He actually talked to me like a human being. It's weird when you're talking to a
billionaire. And that's funny because I don't even talk to Jackson like a human being.
Yeah. But it's weird that the things that he's passionate about and the things that he talks to you about, like, in my mind, the whole time I'm talking to him, I'm thinking about, like, how much money does he have in his pocket right now? I'm thinking that he's thinking, I could be anywhere in the world and do anything I want right now. And that's just an incredible thought.
Well, see, but I'm sure he wasn't thinking that because he was thinking he was doing what he was.
Why did I invite these fucking people to my house?
Well, you said he's a fan of the K&M show, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a guy with $1 billion. So, of course, if he's a fan of the show, he's going to want to hang out with the guys on the show. So what better way to do that than to say, hey, I bought an expensive thing, and I'm going to give it to you guys for free for a publicity stunt. Just come hang out at my place.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pretty much what it was.
And I mean, like, that's what he, you know, you say, like, you know, he could be doing anything. That's what he wants to do.
Exactly.
He wants to hang out with people that he likes to listen to on the radio. And if I had money, I'd be doing the same thing.
It was fun. It was a cool night, man. And what made me want to make more money, I'll tell you that. Jesus.
But something about hanging out with millionaires makes you just want to really motivate you to want to have $1 million.
It also kind of puts you down. Like, I mean, come on, it's unreachable what he has.
Yeah. It's like driving through, like, what, Needham or whatever. Like, you know you're never going to have that kind of money.
Hey, so I'm going to play a game.
Okay.
We're going to play a game. It's Guess That Sound. Yeah.
Where's this from? This is awesome. Write stuff like this?
I can.
We get the music you write and you can play stuff like this? What is this?
Yeah, I mean, I think this might be like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire background music. Anyway, so.
Kind of sounds like background music from a Donkey Kong Country
level. It does. So I'm going to. Now, do you want multiple choice or you just want to try to guess first?
Give me multiple choice. Just like when I was in grade school.
Well, I'm
going to
play
you
a sound
choice.
And then you let me know if you want multiple choice.
All right. You know what's not fair is I know what this is because I've seen this video.
Aww.
This is a duck running down a hallway.
Yeah. It's the greatest thing ever. I'm going to put that to Van Halen, Hot for Teacher. The drums in the beginning. Man, I was hoping you'd get that wrong so I could play that.
Nope.
But no. Well, I played it anyway.
Oh, give me a second to you know, give me some time to rant about the government again, and then you can do that.
No, yeah, I've decided that I don't care about politics anymore. One, because I watch CNN after the show every day, and I get my fill of it then. And two, because you won't shut up about it.
It's important, and I'm a nerd.
It's not that important anymore.
Well, what did John Oliver call it? He called politics sports for nerds. And it's true. All right, are you playing another sound effect for me, or what's
no,
the story
I'm done.
Here?
Okay.
That's it? That's all you had?
Yeah.
It's duck waddling down the hallway, and
absolutely.
You thought you could beat me with that?
Yeah, I did.
You sickened me.
That was for me. Hey, so I have another funny thing to play you.
Yeah.
Did you hear this week that Yoko Ono got official writing credits for the song
Imagine?
Oh, yeah,
I was reading about that, yeah.
So I reimagined what it might sound like had she been singing on it. That's 15 seconds. I don't know about the fucking law.
Now, I was reading in an article, and I don't really know anything about this, but did she block Paul McCartney from trying to rewrite the credits on Beatles songs that he had
yes.
that he had written soul writing credit on?
Not soul writing credit. He wanted his name.
Well, no, but I mean, like, he claimed that there are songs that he's the only one that wrote the lyrics for, but because they were in the band, they gave credit to everybody.
I don't know if that's... I haven't heard that part. The story I know is true is that he wanted the Lennon-McCartney on the song Yesterday flipped to McCartney-Lennon.
Okay, so he went... All right.
She didn't let that happen.
Let it happen.
She sucks. I hate
Who
her.
Who owns the rights to all the Beatles songs?
Yoko Ono, Paul McCartney, Ringo, and George's wife.
But didn't, like, Michael Jackson buy their
I'm
back
not sure
catalog
what the hell
at one point?
The deal. I think he bought the... licensing rights or something.
Okay.
And then, you know what? I don't know. We can look it up. We can be like one of those morning shows that look stuff up on the fly.
Okay. Well, how fast can you look stuff up? Because right now you're staring at a soundboard.
Well, I'm trying to find Yoko Ono screaming because it's funny.
I could do it.
No, come on. Why the fuck do you... Stop it. You ruin things.
Yoko. Well, I'm just like Yoko.
My God. I'm turning... Jesus Christ. I am going to not even cut this out. Nope. Nope. No. Yes, it is.
And that's... Can I have my mic back on?
It's on. Sorry.
And that's less annoying than what I was just doing?
Yes.
You know, for a guy who works in radio and has been in bands for his like entire life, you have very sensitive ears, my friend. Is that the thing? So... Because the thing, I don't know, like, I thought that, like, Michael Jackson had bought their back catalog, so I thought that meant that, like, none of the Beatles owned any of the rights to their music anymore.
It was not the back catalog. It was a lot of it.
Well, I don't know even about back catalog just seems like the right thing to say. I don't know what words actually mean. I just like what sounds good.
All right. I'm going to look it up in the old Google here.
On the old Google.
A history of the ownership of the Beatles catalog.
Catalog. And I don't know if, like, his copyright law would state that, like, the Beatles owned... But then again, they're all from Britain, so I don't know if that even applies. Like, because they're not Americans. They're Americans, so I don't know American laws. American laws. Let's talk about how Paul McCartney is actually
okay,
dead.
Okay, this
Can we
week...
talk about that?
Okay, this was written in January 20th of this year.
Imagine all the Beatles.
This week, Paul McCartney filed a lawsuit in New York court against publisher Sony in an effort to regain his ownership stake in the Beatles' publishing catalog. See, publishing, that's what it was.
Okay. What does that mean?
I don't know. Michael Jackson bought the Beatles catalog in 85 as part of a $47 million deal for ATV. Yeah, I don't know. This is a lot of stuff.
It's all very legal, and I'm confused. That's why I'm scared of a wrestler announcer. Jackson's a great wrestler
announcer. There's a lot of information here. I don't want to read it. I don't care. I've lost
it.
I've
lost officially
Let's
gotten
just...
bored.
All right, I'm done.
You're far too amused by your own antics.
Too much. No more Yoko for me.
No more Yoko. Oh, no. Now, I mean, do you feel like, how much validity is there to the idea that, like, Yoko Ono, like, helped disband the Beatles? I mean...
validity took you... That's a tough one.
Yeah. Validity?
Yeah. It's not that she disbanded them. It's that she made John Lennon want to do stuff.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like she basically, like, she was a bad influence on him.
Yeah.
Like, she sort of, like... People portray her as, like... This, like, dark siren that lured him away from the guys that he was supposed to be, like, brothers with and,
yeah,
like, destroyed their family. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know really anything about it.
Oh, there's a lot to it.
I mean, I'm sure, like, the only way to really understand it is to have grown up in that time period and, like, just been around and seeing it happen and instead of just reading about it after the fact. But,
yeah.
I don't feel like anything that, I don't particularly like anything that she's done. But I also don't want to just dislike her on the idea that, like, you know, she came around when the Beatles broke up. Because, I mean, they've always had problems, obviously. And, you know, were people just saying that because, like, she's a woman and, that, you know, John...
Well, no, she definitely... I know she crowbarred herself into the recordings.
Yeah.
Of, I think it was Abbey Road. And Paul McCartney said that they were all real pissed when she wanted to literally sit on the top of the amp when they were recording.
Yeah, I can imagine that probably would affect the sound quality.
I just saw something to the internet recently about it. Paul McCartney admits that, we handled it, but not amazingly well because we were so tight. We weren't sexist, but girls didn't come into the studio. They tended to leave us to it. When John got with Yoko, she wasn't in the control room or to the side. It was in the middle of the four of us. Ono sitting on the amps while the Beatles worked on new material, got them off on the wrong foot. But now McCartney says the two of them are like mates. Yeah, okay. That's
now,
not, they're like mates because they see each other once a year in a shiny lawyer's office in New York and talk about the money. That's literally what happens. They have to get together once a year and talk about it. Do the sign shit.
There's only two of them left.
But I'm saying that's what Yoko represents John.
Oh, it's, okay.
The wife represents George's wife represents him, and so on and so forth.
Now I don't know anything about Yoko as a person and whether or not she was with many people. But do you think her sitting on the amp would have caused some kind of like echo effect?
Boom, 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 boom. Man, I wish I could do an echo effect, but I can't.
Echo.
You know, like imagine there's no people.
I wrote a joke today, which I thought was kind of funny.
Is that a
This is just an episode of Jackson and Mark not being able to remember what
I'm
words
thinking,
are.
Segway. Non-sequitur?
Kind of. Maybe. Not really. I don't know. There's really not much to be talked about here.
Let's just complete this.
Get your...
I stuck with it for many, many years, and I think we would have all continued the Beatles, but Yoko came along.
John
fell wildly in love with her. He needed a big, big change in his life, and he got it. You know, he came to live in New York. He kind of threw over all his English contacts and everything, and you know, can't blame him. That's what he wants to do in his life. So we have to kind of fade into the background to allow them to have their relationship. What are we going to do, ringing him up? Hey, John, you know, hey, come and see me.
All right, so but this,
Yoko.
Now, I mean, let's see the difference here. This isn't like 1985.
Okay.
This is like 2 years ago with Howard.
Get back. When you were recording it, Yoko was in the studio, and every time you sang Get Back, John accused you of staring at Yoko, and he took it as an insult because you were telling her to get back to where you once belonged.
Well, yeah. That's not true. No.
No, I mean, it's not true.
Those were very paranoid times, you know. And let's face it, we didn't welcome Yoko in the studio.
I know.
Because we thought it was a guy thing.
Yes.
I mean, even the guys' wives and the girlfriends and stuff weren't really welcome in the studio. They could, you know, control room for a quick visit.
Right.
But actually sit in the studio with
answer.
Us. It was like,
what?
That's a stock
no,
answer.
Excuse me, we're working.
Did you have the guts to say that to John?
No.
You did not. If you had said
it
that.
It was kind of obvious, though.
Yes, but weren't you acting out passively, aggressively, in the sense that you're sitting in the studio, you're just steaming, rather than saying, John, in a kind of a loving way,
man,
this is how... This
Paul
is
McCartney
not,
and the Beatles
are
much
me.
More interesting than us.
Well, you know
okay,
what?
Okay, so tell me your joke.
Well, you know, joke aside, I want to make a point about this. I do kind of agree with what he's saying.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I mean, you're talking about an established group of artists who
oh,
are
God,
creating...
It happened to me with us when Eric brought Jana around. It was the worst.
Yeah.
It was the fucking worst. It was. She was there when we were recording. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Was she sitting on the amp?
Yes.
Did she echo?
Oh, she echoed.
See, because it's like, in that situation, I would think it would be perfectly acceptable for, like, if you had a significant other who wanted to come in and sit and watch you record. That's fine. That sounds awesome. But they need to understand that this is your job. This is what you guys do. And they need to get out of the way and let you guys do it. And
we don't come in the kitchen and heckle you when you're cooking.
Well, good. Now you've just taken it to a bad place. But and I'm not talking about, like, even if it was, like, a group of
do
women.
Do I tell you how to do the laundry, bitch?
Even if it was, like, a group of women artists. Let's switch the flip a little bit. And if it's a group of women artists and they were bringing their boyfriends.
Well, first you go in there and say, why are you guys outside of the house without our permission? How'd you get here? Did you drive?
yeah, and I think, you know, I say that a lot on my other podcast that I do where I talk with creative people, the idea that, like, you know, in anything, even if you're talking about, like, collaborating and working with somebody else in a project, like, you need to understand what you're... Again, in a sexist way of saying it, you need to understand your place. when you're coming into a pre-existing situation, you need to understand where you fit in with that. Are you an observer? Are you an assistant? Are you a collaborator? And you don't overstep those bounds. Because
she was a confused girl from a confused land.
Yeah, exactly. So in this case, you're talking about these guys are a band. They're like the biggest band in the world at the time. It's still one of the biggest bands in the world ever. And they're doing their thing, and it's their job. It's costing a lot of money to be recording the Abbey Road record. I mean, that was a lot of money and a long time and a lot of work. She can't just walk into the recording studio and sit in the middle of it. Sit in the control booth and watch it happen. If you need to be in the recording room, sit in the corner and
all
watch
right,
it
now
happen.
Now you're just repeating what Paul Stanley said. Jesus.
Paul Stanley?
You know how... Ooh. Freudian slip.
Do you really think that Kiss measures up to Beatles? I don't think so.
I think that Gene Simmons would disagree with you, my
friend. Yeah, I'm sure Gene Simmons would disagree with a lot of people. Isn't he trying to...
He's trying to trademark the rock and roll hand
the
symbol,
devil horns,
the horns.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's so terrible.
It's so Gene Simmons.
I mean, so... Yeah, I know. It's absolutely what Gene Simmons do, but so many people have used that, and that isn't, like... I remember reading about, I mean, Dio, isn't Dio one of the guys who really popularized that?
He didn't
invite it, but, and he always used to say that it was based on a hand gesture his grandmother used to do, which was supposed to be a sign for good luck. And then he sort of saw that, like, other musicians were doing something similar, and so then he started really doing it as sort of a
What do you say we have a rock and roll party tonight?
Yeah, baby.
Y'all gotta sing. Don't you be afraid of the person next to you, because they're waiting for you to sing, so let's bring it on. Let's bring it on.
I love Paul Stanley.
He should be like, he should just start a new career as a motivational speaker.
Wild animals, make some noise!
That's what you should do. You should take a bunch of Paul Stanley clips and cut them together as a motivational speaker doing like a keynote.
I should do that.
That would be funny.
Anyway.
Anyway, speaking of funny, so the joke that I came up with today while I was doing the dishes, what do you call...
Uh-oh, you were doing dishes?
What do you call a stubborn urine stain? Piece de la resistance.
Move this man!
Piece de la resistance, right? Piece de la resistance. That's funny. That's funny.
So anyway... No, that was good. I like that.
And yeah, I thought of it while I was doing dishes. You don't do dishes?
I do dishes.
Yeah.
But I knew it was going to be one of those fucking jokes that you think of while doing dishes. Anything to, you know...
Distract from the fact that you're doing dishes.
That would... Yes. Sorry. I just got confused or distracted or both.
Okay, so I have a question actually for you. Maybe a boring topic, but I want to bring it up with you because you have experience... For years, Jackson was a pizza delivery guy.
Oh, yeah. I like talking about pizza delivery.
So today, there's a place in Hyde Park that they actually make amazing pizza, but they also make amazing tacos. And we ordered from there for lunch today, me and my fiance. And we had our nephew with us, so we ordered a bunch of tacos, but he didn't want tacos, so we got him a slice of pepperoni pizza. And they sent, the delivery guy came, delivered it, whatever, dropped it off, I brought it in. She started going through it. She's like, the pizza's not here. Where's the pizza? So then I had to call the place and say, like, hey, you know, we ordered a slice, I paid for it, where is it? And he goes, oh, yeah, the slice of pepperoni? The delivery guy told us that you weren't answering the door when he came up to the porch because apparently he had forgotten in the car and brought it back, so he left it on the porch. Huh. So they're like, yeah, no, it's on your porch on the table. I'm like, oh.
Nice.
Okay. So is that proper pizza guy etiquette to just leave food sitting out
definitely
on the porch?
Definitely not, no. I mean, although...
if somebody's not answering the doorbell?
No, what did you have? Did they offer... Wait, did he... So... When did you get the food? How did you get the rest of the food?
No, he came. So he came to deliver the food to me, and I took it, and I brought it in, and then I realized the pizza was missing. He had left the pizza in the car and realized it when he got back to the car, and then came up to try to finish the delivery. But at the time, I wasn't paying attention to him knocking on the door, and I guess he didn't ring the bell.
That's bad. That's
so
fucking
he
awful.
He just left it there on the table, on the porch, and they just waited for me to call them to complain.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Bad. Bad pizza delivery.
But then again, like, how
shame
hard should he try to get my attention if I'm not answering the door?
I mean, you're an asshole too, but you can't just leave it there.
Well, I mean, I can't, well, actually, no, because you know what? He had my number. He could, because that's how I knew
he
was there.
He should have called you.
He called at the first place to let me know he was there.
Yeah, he should have called you.
So actually, I don't even think he tried. Now that I think of it, I don't even think he tried to knock on the door.
That's
I think
a bad
he just
move.
Left it and walked away.
I don't like him.
So you're, as a professional pizza delivery boy, retired. You give him a boo. Thank you for that.
That was loud.
All right, so
I'm
he
really
was bad
sorry about that. Yeah, that was bad.
Okay. Boo this man!
Boo him!
All right, so I have an answer, and I am vindicated.
My ear hurts. That was loud.
You have such delicate ears. I think you need to wear earplugs
everything.
While you're. Yeah, you're a delicate man. You're a fragile little flower.
All right, let's wrap this baby up.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Beatles.
Yeah,
this is a Beatles-heavy episode. Paul McCartney's actually dead, you know.
Don't start this.
Yeah.
Paul's alive and well.
He is dead and replaced.
If he dies before our next podcast, I might have to blame you.
Yeah, but then we have something. He's not the real Paul Stanley. Paul Stanley. He's not the real Paul McCartney.
I want Paul Stanley singing Beatles songs.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I'm trying to think of what songs it would be good to fit him into. We're back in the USSR.
That's all right. I want to hear him sing like a...
We need somebody who can do... All right, if you're listening to this and you can do an amazing Paul Stanley impression, get in contact with us. We want to hire you.
This is Paul Stanley playing Whole Lotta Love.
And you're not afraid of getting sued for this?
Shut up. All right, we're going to end it on this.
All right, sounds fine.